Investigator Radio.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
And welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio. I am one of your hosts tonight. I am Steve, and I have a bunch of other people here with me. Who are you?
I am Nicole.
I am Rich.
I am four.
You're supposed to say seven of nine.
I'm seven of nine?
Seven of nine.
Well, I would just like to congratulate mankind for surviving that near-miss asteroid on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I'm talking about, then good for you. If not, don't worry about it.
We're alive.
Seven million miles have passed us.
And it's near?
In cosmic terms, yeah, that was close.
Yeah. When it's like 5 feet, let me know.
Will do, Steve. So if you're interested in calling in tonight, 1-888-429-5471, Paranormal Investigator Radio, no longer being brought to you by DePaulo's.
No longer.
Not there anymore.
Nope.
We're moving on to bigger and better things. The radio show is going to be changing. We'll get a new introduction so it actually includes people that are actually on the show.
And actually,
actually
also, word is that we may be a traveling radio show, too, going from different place to different place.
So if you are a haunted location or UFO sighting and you want us to be part of your location, get in touch with Steve or Nicole.
Like,
I don't know. I was just trying to be radioactive.
Just get in touch with this location.
Get in touch with our group right at
stayspooky@yahoo.com.
stayspooky@yahoo.com. It's small. No, I could probably get sued for that one. If you're an upstate New Yorker, you know what we're talking about.
So we threw together this radio show pretty quick tonight.
Yeah, we did.
We realized as we're over at the pizza parlor eating, oh, it's 7:39 and our show goes on 8 o'clock. Pete's like, yeah, we should probably leave. So we took a short walk, just a few blocks, got up, and we tore through this thing pretty quick. So, we literally unboxed the entire setup, and Nicole was detangling wires. Steve was pulling out stuff out of his magic case. Pete was trying to get the Skype to work. And I was just plugging stuff into the board, and somehow the four of us made this happen.
So. I was trying to break microphones, and I did a pretty good job on my shock mount, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know, pulling things.
Well, I got to fix the shock mount after the show, so.
Pulling things out of your magic case sort of has a strange connotation to it.
So we've been relatively quiet during the holiday break this year, guys. I mean, guys and girls, excuse me.
I'm itching for an investigation, honestly.
Yeah,
that would be
really kind of cool.
Yeah.
Do you ever notice why, even when there's women, everything's referred to as guys, and even girls do the same thing? They're like, come on, guys, let's go.
Why is that?
Is that like kind of like a double standard? I mean, is that like a male thing? I just say guys.
Maybe it's a human thing. If girls do it, guys do it.
I think it's just a people thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and no offense taken.
No,
and I didn't mean to
no
say
offense.
That, Nicole. I mean, guys. I mean, if I say girls, then these guys are going to look at me like, what the hell?
The hell are you talking about?
And if you're Italian-American, it's use guys.
Use guys.
That's Y-O-U, apostrophe S. Yes, it exists. The plural form of you.
Is that like mutes?
Utes. The two Utes.
Yeah, My Cousin Vinny, remember that one?
Two Utes.
That's still a great show after all these years.
My Cousin
mm-hmm.
Vinny?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, why do they have to ruin the original Ghostbusters with the sequel?
You're not excited about that?
Not at all.
Because Hollywood knows no bounds of trying to make money, that's why.
I shouldn't be condemning the movie without seeing it, but I read a lot of comments people post on different things, and people are really, and I gotta agree with them. It's that other than like the Star Wars phenomena that made them $1 billion in what, less than a week?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Why are we regurgitating the 1980s stuff? I mean,
because
they were classics.
Out of ideas. They're
exactly.
out of ideas.
Yes,
so it's time to let's take something that'd be easy for us to produce and throw it back together and make a lot of money.
And let's screw it up in the meantime.
You see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is coming out this summer?
Which version? I just watched
a new one.
Megan
Fox.
Megan Fox, yeah.
The biggest disappointment that... I haven't seen the movie, so I can't speak for myself, but the biggest disappointment I've read online is that Fantastic Four movie, which just came out on DVD not too long ago. They said that was really, really bad. And now they're making a sequel to it.
To a bad movie? They're making a sequel to it.
Yeah, that movie was panned from the beginning because of certain aspects they did. And I'm not going to say...
Well, it's just kind of weird because, like, you take the Fantastic Four, and you have to play the whole, you know, diversity card. And you take Johnny Storm, who was a typical white Caucasian man, and now he's an African-American male. Okay? And then they're trying to, like... But the problem is that they're doing it to try to attract different diversity viewers rather than basically sticking to the core story.
It's my thing.
You know, so that to me just kind of takes the whole thing of it. They're doing it for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But here's my thing is, instead of trying to do it to things that are already there, you know, I mean, everybody grew up with the Fantastic Four. Everybody grew up with the Hulk. Why don't you make and create a new set of superheroes that are diversified and trying to sell diversity into an old cartoon or an old...
Thor's a woman now, you know.
Yeah, you seen that?
Seriously?
And she's badass, too.
Thorette.
Yeah. No, it's actually... It was very well done.
I don't know.
I've read a few of the digital comic books online on it, and it's really well done. I was actually pretty impressed by it.
I don't know.
But again, varying from, it's like making Wonder Woman a guy now, or making
Wonder Man
Black Panther now, White Panther. And I don't know. It's just, but the problem is it all stems off of money. You know, that's to sell tickets to the movies.
Yep.
I get it. But I digress because we're here to talk about the paranormal, not comic books. Though we should really do another radio show on comic books. That would be sort of
cool. There's a lot of paranormal lore related into comic books, I guess.
Yeah.
It falls into mythologies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you ever seen us, or our listeners have ever seen pictures of us online, we definitely are the Big Bang Theory.
I hope
so. We are. Nerds
Roll. You're going to have to be Raj, Stephen.
No. I see pictures of us.
Nerdvana here.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, not that this has zero to do with the paranormal, did you see the Big Bang Theory got leveled with a massive lawsuit over the Kitty song?
I saw that today.
No.
I just saw it on Yahoo, but I didn't read it.
The family of the original author is suing them for copyright infringement and then all of the merchandising that's been used since.
Hey, man, it's all about money.
Yep.
Money makes the world around.
Money makes people do crazy things.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have Donald Trump running for president. Go, Donald.
Thank you.
I didn't even say that.
Thank you. See, I thought his other one was better. The one where Tristan was peeing and he was like, shake once for Austin, shake twice for Houston, whatever it was, for the town you lost your heart in. I don't even remember what the quote was, but I remember dying laughing.
The Big Bang Theory.
Get out of here.
I haven't either.
Get out of here.
You're off the radio show.
I've never seen The Big Bang, so who's this Raj guy?
He's basically an Indian guy who's afraid of women and can't talk in their presence unless he's drunk.
Oh, so now I know what everybody thinks of me.
But he's an astrophysicist. Or is he an astronomer? He's an astronomer,
he's
right?
He's an astrophysicist, yeah. Astronomer is, I think they're kind of classified.
Hand in hand,
yeah.
They're all at Caltech. Right, Caltech?
I lied. I have seen one or two episodes.
It grows on you, because the first...
seasons, and you saw...
The one where he built the robot to go knock on Penny's door. That's one of the very few episodes I've seen.
It grows on you. At first, I only saw like one episode, didn't like it, and then I sat through a couple more.
I sat there and said,
I watch like five or six episodes a night. I mean, there's usually nothing on about 6:37. I watch The Big Bang, and my wife's always like, what are you doing? I'm watching The Big Bang. There's nothing else on TV. I'm like, but it's funny. I like it. I can never not watch enough of it.
Is it on Netflix?
I think so.
The old seasons,
I might have to go check that out.
Yeah, starting season 1, Steve. You could probably get all the way to season 8.
within a couple
binge
of
watch.
Hours.
Just binge watch
I do
it
that.
All.
I am so famous at binge watching. I love binge watching.
Anybody seen Steve for a week? You go over there, he's all unshaven, he stinks. And kind of yeah.
He's singing Soft Kitty.
Yeah. This is kind of, you ever see the episode of Family Guy when...
Never seen that show either.
What?
Okay, I watched that show.
Never seen that
Come show. On, when Quagmire discovers pornography online.
Mm-hmm. His arm.
Quagmire, where you been? Insane satellite. All unshaven. He's in a robe. He's got one arm, looks like Popeye, one the other one's real skinny.
That's our former teammate, Vinny.
Oh, jeez.
All right, we should probably talk about the paranormal. That's why.
All right.
So we'll talk about something near and dear to Rich right off the bat. I've been seeing a lot of Bigfoot pictures
Batman?
On the line.
Oh, yeah.
I guess Bigfoot and Batman are the same thing. They're never seen together in a phone booth.
Bigfoot's awesome. What do you got, Peter?
Have you been seeing any of those pictures there from the trail cams? And then there's one, it's a backside picture. Nicole was showing them to you at... dinner. I forgot what the website they come off of.
Yeah, here's my thoughts on trail cam photos. Agree or disagree. I guess it doesn't make a difference to me. Back when I was an outdoorsman and hunting and things like that, I've always saw people post trail cam pictures. Look, there's a mountain lion in Ohio, New York. And it shows a picture of a mountain lion taking a deer. And a lot of times those photos are taken from someplace else and mm-hmm. they claim to be where they're at. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I have with trail cam photos is the authenticity of where the location is. And I really screwed up that word, authenticity.
Authenticity.
Thank you, Steve.
You're very welcome.
The other thing is that sometimes I wonder how authentic the actual photo is mm-hmm. in addition to location. One that I thought there was a lot of merit to, if you've ever saw Finding Bigfoot, and I know Steve watches this because he just binge watched it,
oh,
right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. They were up in Vermont, and then they went to Whitehall. And there was a gentleman who owned an orchard, and he was finding all his apples being picked and stuff like that. So he put trail cams out, and there was a picture of one that looked bent over, and it looked like it had a little baby.
Yes, I seen that.
He caught that on the trail cam. I thought that was actually pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's always going to be a shadow doubt that that's somehow a scam, but honestly, I think it's authentic. Now, the thing is that I've seen so many of these things, especially on YouTube and online, where, like, there's a deer and there's, like, a monster with fangs mm-hmm. behind the deer, or there's an alien ready to jump on it or something. So I guess it's tough to really, I guess, look at evidence now that you find online and actually look at it objectively versus looking at it thinking, oh, dear Lord, how many hours is this person spending trying to put this on Photoshop or whatever. So
I think the trail cam photos can be easily manipulated. I think the clarity of it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Easily. So I guess that you have to trust the source. If you don't trust the source, don't trust the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just talking to Steve about this on the way here about how I want to put a trail cam up in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see what we find.
I think I'd find it more valid if someone came to me and showed me one they had on the picture from the trail cam.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually had an SD card and gave it to me to put in my computer, and
right.
I pulled it up and there was some pictures. I would hold more validity in that than I would versus, you know, finding something online.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think once it gets online, it gets watered down and the credibility just kind of goes down and down and down. And it's sad because I'm sure there are some really authentic things out there that are getting a bad rap. Because, if you get a Bigfoot sighting or a ghost sighting, you don't become famous. There's not, like, a pot of $1 million waiting for you, like, I captured a Bigfoot. It's not like you're going to be, like, in the news and people are going to, you know, want to give you millions and, you know, it's just not like that. So
mm-hmm.
sometimes these people have to come out and expose themselves to ridicule when they do this type of stuff. Not so much now, but can you imagine, like, say, 25, 30 years ago, how these people would be ridiculed?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people wouldn't come forward. They're just like, I'm not saying
anything. You say not now, but even today, there's going to be some people saying, you know, you're full of garbage, dude, you know? And, it's going to be full of ridicule. You better have damn good evidence if you're going to come out. And you better know what it is.
Well, you know, being a skeptic, essentially, looking over a lot of paranormal evidence that was brought to me before I joined the group, RIP, mm-hmm. wasn't mine. So there's always you know, as cool as it looked and as authentic as I thought it may be, there's always a little bit of skepticism. Yeah, I don't know, you know. I didn't see it. I didn't capture it. But then when I joined the group and all the 100-plus investigations I've been on and seeing, experiencing things for myself, I know it is true. I know it happens. But still, when people provide me evidence, I still look at it very objectively, thinking, nah, you know, it's always going to go through your mind. You know, somebody shows you a picture. Oh, I got this picture. We're looking at one. Off of our Facebook page.
Today.
Yeah, today. Okay. Actually came across my phone, and I saw Nicole answered it. It was a picture of a guy posing or something like that, taking a selfie in the shower. In the shower curtain, there was a face. And it was kind of like one of those horror movie, like, screen faces. You know? And I was just like, yeah, it's not legit.
It was. It's a decal you put on the window for Halloween. Yeah. I recognized it right away.
I missed that.
Well, there's that app now. People take a picture, puts the ghost in the picture.
Mm-hmm. Ghost app.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
People were sending that to me. Like, even my sister-in-law sent me one. Saying, mm-hmm. Oh, a person, tenant in our apartment building, basically took this picture. And I'm like, that's not true. I go, it looks just like the girl from The Grudge. You ever seen who The Grudge is? You know, it's cut off. There's no, like, it's like she got cut off completely straight across the bottom with no legs. It's just...
Do you remember that one that surfaced on the email, and I took our picture that we took with John Zaffis, and I put the same picture of the ghost in it and sent it back to that person?
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
And then there's stuff our investigators, like when we did the Hulbert, one of our investigators took a video and didn't see something on the ground and walked by it, and he freaked out. He said it was a little girl sitting there. But when we went through and looked at it, and I ran it through some software that slowed it down and everything, it turned out it was actually like a fire hydrant thing, like a sprinkler system that was going into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I actually went over and found it on the property because, you know, we went there afterwards. So, you know, it was just one of those things. Even our own stuff, we have to verify. And if we can't prove it, that it is authentic, then it is what it is. I mean, how much evidence did I put aside thinking, I have no way to verify this is anything real? And I have a big shadow of doubt it's not. So I just put it just as I'm not going to put that out on the social media or put it in the presentation and tell people without a doubt, check this out. This is a ghost.
Boom.
Exactly.
So we have a question from Jerry in Nebraska.
Oh.
What type of ghost equipment should I buy if I want to get into ghost hunting?
Well, there's four of us here, so why don't each one of us tell Jerry a piece of equipment that we think would be good?
All right, I guess I can go first. Well, if I was starting out and I had one piece of equipment that I only had money for, one piece, I would go ahead with audio. Get a good audio recorder, because 99% of our evidence that we get is through audio. Rich?
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't ready.
I would concur with Steve. As we tell newbies, no offense, the best piece of equipment out there is your own body. And having done this for so long, and actually Rich and I were just talking about this over the weekend, it's like, I guess you'd have to sum up what it is you're trying to do. Are you ghost hunting, where you need the thrill and adrenaline hunt of breaking into a place, trying to find something, or are you a paranormal investigator where you're trying to come up with answers for
clients
and mysteries, have you? But I would still, I mean, these guys get mad at me, but I'll walk into a room and I really don't even have equipment with me anymore half the time. It's like, I don't really need it. You know when something's going to happen.
I would say, I'll answer this with the two parts. For conventional equipment, I would recommend some kind of EMF meter, like a K2, or Digital Dowsing makes a nice little anomaly meter, something like that, because usually when things start to happen, or you're trying to pinpoint where there's some paranormal manifestations or something's going to happen, there's usually energy. And, you know, going back to what Pete said, you know, we can feel it. I mean, I know I can when I walk in a room, and I know something's going on or not. So a way to actually show that on a meter to measure it is a good way to do that. And the second part of that is using fringe equipment. I mean, everyone knows in the group that I'm a big, big fan of fringe equipment. You know, fringe equipment is anything that's not really designed for purposes of the normal world other than the paranormal. Spirit boxes, ovuluses, things of that nature. So the one thing that I would use is an EM pump. I've had really good luck with EM pumps, and essentially EM pumps creates an electromagnetic field. And if you're trying to communicate with EVPs or if you're trying to see something, EM pumps provide that electromagnetic energy into the ambient atmosphere that spirits can use to try to manifest.
Sort of like a battery for a ghost.
It is. And also, I've also noticed that I've had less battery drainage on my handheld equipment when I use an EM pump. So, and they're not terribly expensive. You can buy them on eBay for $30 or so like that. So that's what I would recommend.
Now when you use the EM pump, do the batteries on the EM pump drain fast?
No, they don't seem to, because it's outputting energy. Okay. You know what I'm saying? It's creating a field of electromagnetic energy, so there's no reason to try to get to the battery, because I think the output of the energy is more than what the battery's providing.
Okay.
So it's almost like a sacrificial battery. It's never happened to me yet. So, but there could always be a first, Steve. Nicole?
I would go with Steve. I would say the recorder is probably the best piece of equipment, but I'm also on the fence. I'm with the fringe equipment. I like the spirit box, the Frank's box. So you not necessarily get tons of stuff on there, but you can get stuff on there.
So. I agree, but I would say the spirit box is something that I would play with after I did a few investigations.
Yep.
Kind of
right.
Get my late feel of the land to try to figure out, you know, and there's other stuff. Like, because one of the key words that he said was starting out. Like, I would say a full spectrum camera. You know what I mean?
Good choice.
That's pretty much my core piece of equipment now. I go in there with that rig I made, and that's pretty much what to me, getting something on video or in a picture is more than useful, I think, provable than audio. But I think starting out, I would definitely go with the audio recorder.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely go with like some kind of a EM, like a K2 or something like that, and then definitely try an EM pump to try to, you know, bring the action to you, if you will.
You have to work your way into the spirit box.
And Peter, what about you?
I'm just watching this UFO video here. No, I agree. Things I would not waste money on. I guess this is sort of like, look at it as an investment. Like if you're going to, I don't know where that came from. If you're going to buy, say, coins or collectibles, never buy the cheap and common stuff, because it's never really going to be of any use to you. So like Steve is mentioning audio, we're talking $200 for a recorder. Not that that's better than a $50 one, but it actually is. Like Rich is saying, full spectrum camera, they're what now, about $129,
$150-ish? Well, yeah, but then you have to get the lights for it, because a full spectrum camera does nothing. And that's a misconception, because people buy, like one girl came to Rutgers and she bought a full spectrum camera. And she's, I'm having a problem, I can't seem to film anything. That's because you need a light source.
Light,
you can't just film
and the
full spectrum without having a full spectrum lighting source.
But I think you guys would all agree too. I wouldn't waste money with like the very cheap EMF stuff that's out there. I wouldn't even get a thermometer. That to me, that's just a waste of $20 to $50, because temperatures are always changing. And if it's if it's a paranormal cold, you're gonna know it.
Yeah, you're gonna feel it.
Yeah, because if you can like walk into that room down there and it's probably 5 to 7 degrees colder than in this room.
But what I always tell people too, because a lot of people ask me, I say, you know, you've been doing this long enough, and I've been doing this for what, 6-7 years, and you do it for me. And when you go into a room, you can actually feel the differences in the room, the electricity in the room. So if you've been doing it long enough, you'll be able to discern what is, without using a thermometer, what is paranormal cold and what is just plain cold.
And not giving them a plug, but you might want to look into the multi-equipment stuff. I know if Dr. Dave was here, he'd give you a much different answer. But like a millimeter, you can get it with anything from the EMF and a spirit box and temperature or... just all different braids,
right now.
The ghost arc, I mean, which is another combination.
Yeah, that still hasn't hit the markets yet. But there's another one that's like $99, and it looks like it's in an OtterBox. It does three things. It's a geophone. Geophone is a device that measures vibration, very sensitive to vibration. It does temperature and reads it out in a LED display. And it also does EM. so it records EMF. It's all in one handheld $99 piece of equipment. That might be a good piece of equipment for someone getting into the field, because they can spend $99 and they get everything pretty much but an audio recorder. I know, like, Ghost Outlet has them. Ghost Stop has them. My good friend Chris Fleming, who's been on multiple TV shows, including Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures, he actually has this on his site. I'm looking it up for you right now so our listener can
So would you say
check it out online.
It's mostly what you want to specialize in. So if you want to specialize in sound, you should spend a lot of money in sound. If you want to be a picture person, you should spend a lot of money and get a very high pixel camera
Pick a specialty. Yeah, and try to excel at it. That piece of equipment is called an EDI. It's a 3-in-1 paranormal device. So I think with the advent of the Ghost Art coming out, you're going to start seeing a lot more equipment go that route. It's kind of like the iPhone going bigger and doing more as more competitors start to come up with smartphones. I think now you're going to see, because the Ghost Arc is really going to start taking market share, and people are trying to combine all these devices into one instead of having, because I know, I mean, I have like little cases that hang off my belt loops and everything. I've got all kinds of other pieces of equipment. You know, I used to have one or two devices and walk in there, and those one or two devices do everything.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Everything.
So you know what I just what just dawned on me? Well, thank you for your question, Jerry. If anybody else would like to talk to us, 1-888-429-5471. So basically, I'm no better than myself when I used to make fun of all these psychics and other people. Like, look at them. They don't even use equipment. They just walk around and they feel things. I'm doing the same thing now. I'm not psychic, but...
Well, there's a theory to that, and it's kind of... When you first start investigating, you have to find the spirits. It's almost like you got to go in there, you got to find them. And then eventually you start to become sensitive to it. But then I think if you do it long enough, they tend to come to you. Like Pete says, I mean, I can walk in a room now, I'm like, yeah, there's something going on in here. Mm-hmm. Before, I'd be walking around, is there a ghost in here? Let's bring all the new sweeps and do all this kind of stuff. But and I think you get to some point where you start going around. I think now, because actually you and I spend a lot of time doing spirit box things. So it's almost like, I wonder if we're on their radar. You know, we go and do an investigation. Oh, here those guys are always trying to talk to us. Let's go up and say something. You know, and they try to get your attention more. Before they would run for you. Now it's like they kind of want to, like, I don't know. It's just a weird feeling I get. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that just seems to me how it's been working out for me anyways.
I know usually when I investigate with Steve, we pick up on children, and children usually aren't known to that location. And it's like, And we've joked before, we're like, are we on some bulletin board on the other side? It's like when these two guys are open for business, you want to go to them? I mean, same with us. I mean, we pick up weird things.
I get Pete all the time when I do spirit box sessions. Now I'm getting Pete, Rich.
I'm like, thank God that my name's not being called out on that thing. Thank you.
We can take care of that.
I'm sure you can.
We have some friends on the other side. Now, I actually got a response that was kind of creepy. We did, it was actually me, Nicole, and Larry. We did up in Gloversville, the Fulton County Museum.
That's right.
And we did a presentation, everything. Everybody liked it. We had Nicole run the presentation, and Larry and I kind of cut it off each other and presented all the RIP stuff. We did the group proud. I think we did anyways.
Excellent.
We always do a good job.
But during the investigation, something weird kind of happened that kind of put me back a little bit. First of all, I heard earlier when we were there that two investigators died this year that investigated that location. One was a member of a Gloversville group, and he was a young guy. He died in a motorcycle accident. And then there was another guy from a different group that actually died afterwards. He was older. I think he had a heart attack or something. Mm-hmm. So two investigators died that year that have investigated that facility several times.
Mm-hmm.
So at first, I was like, I don't think anything of it, you know. So as we did an investigation, got towards the end, I was doing a spirit box session with my new spirit box, a big one, over in, I think it was a room with the trains in it. And there was about six people with me, and they were asking questions. All of a sudden, out of the spirit box, it goes, kill Rich. And I just looked and said, did that thing just say kill Rich? And one girl's, yes, it did. And then the girl got pissed at the box. you leave him alone. He's a nice guy. How dare you? I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, all right, let's, you know, let's all relax here a second. But that got me kind of thinking afterwards, you know? And then, you know, obviously I, several weeks later, in my car accident, and that's just like, that still, to this day, freaks me out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I never made that connection.
That's the only time I've ever been freaked out by response. I've been called a lot of words through the spirit box, a lot of nasty ones, probably not as bad as what Pete gets called. But then when you hear that, and I was like, did that just say kill Rich? And I looked at the people in my group, and they're looking at me, and they're like, uh-huh. They're like kind of freaked out, too, as well. So apparently there's someone that I didn't make a friend with. So I don't know what that's all about. So anyways.
Well, that's up there with the Star Hill legend in our area with that stupid chair that people sit in and die.
Oh, yeah.
And my favorite was that one guy that time, my cousin sat in that chair and he died. Well, how did he die? It was 32 years later and he had a heart attack. I'm like, I'm pretty sure the chair had absolutely nothing to do with that. But.
Well, I don't. What happened to me wasn't related to it, but. It just makes you think, you know, when you first get rattled a little bit, that's the first time I've ever been rattled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just like, okay. And it may have not said Kill Rich, but that's what it sounded like to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what it sounded like. But of course, I could have said, did it say just eat beans? And people would be like, uh-huh.
Yeah. See, not to be devil's advocate, no pun intended. I think if it was like something demonic that wanted to kill you, it's just going to kill you and not tell you. It's not going to make it known to you. It's just going to
do it. I don't think there's anything demonic at all. I think it was just could have been another Rich, or it was just mad, pissed off.
Yep.
You had a conversation with one in the basement and said it was Satan. Remember?
A few times.
All kinds of names.
Oh yeah, we've
Beelzebub a few times. Which makes you wonder when you hear that coming over a spirit box. It's like, what the hell?
To scare you.
Except for the location, that one location, we actually did worry something was there because that was an intentional door that was opened for that location.
Somebody was being bad and playing with things that they shouldn't be playing with.
And that's where I guess where the rubber meets the road sort of thing. We always recommend, if you're going to get involved in this, don't start your own group. Just get involved with a group that's been established. Get some investigations, then if you want to go on your own. But I think we're seeing that again now in the hobby where people think they've done two investigations, they're ready to do public events, they're ready to do all this stuff, and the next thing you know...
the safety numbers. We're, but I don't know. And you know me, I don't... when I'm doing my spirit box sessions, I'm very polite. Mm-hmm. I'm not very antagonistic. I mean, I'm not trying to... I mean, I don't, like... You will do this. I don't yell. I mean, I just ask questions. Who needs help? What's your name? How can we help you? That kind of. I mean, I've been on investigations with other groups and with some of our past members that would, you know, really get riled up and start getting nasty about asking questions. And I'm like, why are you doing that? I mean, what is that going to provide?
You know, sometimes we've had adventures, to.
You know? So.
Sometimes we've had to. When they start calling you out like that, or you know they're doing something to the homeowners and they're just messing with you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would never recommend provoking.
I still won't do it. I don't at all.
I told you that somewhere we have the footage of it, of a former member was in a church that we were investigating, just went on an anti-God rant, and we were just literally watching in the other room on the monitor, the entire room's just getting black around them, like something's moving right in for the kill, so to speak. It's like, oh, boy. 1-888-429-5471. Paranormal Investigator Radio with Steve, Rich, Nicole, and number 4. I know you're listening, Candy. So Nicole has brought a wonderful book series with her today in New York State. It's called the Wicked Book Series. Are they by the History Press, I believe?
Let me check.
It's Tales of the Macabre and Gorish, Ghoulish, all
the
that crap
History
that we
Press.
Like.
Yes.
The History Press is also associated with Arcadia, which is also the company which I've published Rome Revisited and Images of America Griffiths Air Force Base.
Really?
Shameless plug.
Yeah, they have.
And the copy of Legendary Locals of Oneida County that they didn't publish because our legendary locals aren't legendary enough. So I guess the Pledge of Allegiance, the first flag of the United States being flown, the Erie Canal, all those kind of things. Who cares about that? Baron von Steuben.
Yeah, who cares?
All the history. Yeah.
So what's the book about?
The Telegraph in Utica. Oh,
there's a lot about a lot.
Let's American Express.
It's pretty much, long story short, it goes down the list of famous murders and gruesome acts in Mohawk Valley. There is one for the Adirondacks, and I think there might be another one, but I'm not sure.
Is that Chester Gillette? The one up in Big Moose Lake?
I think I read that one.
Right, was that Big Moose Lake? He's the one who killed the lady in the rowboat.
That was in the Adirondack.
He's at the Herkimer County Prison there, which we've never been able to investigate because
this one has the most.
We didn't show them pictures of dust orbs and claim they were ghosts. So
this one has the most famous one that we know around here, which is the Potato Hill murder.
Yes, Bernard Hatch.
Bernard Hatch, is he out? No.
No, I don't think
out.
He ever will be. See now, here's
is he
where.
Still alive?
Oh yeah, he's in prison.
Yeah, he's in life.
And what year did that happen, Nicole?
Oh, 80s, eighties, mid 80s.
I think it was in the '80s. I think Pete's right.
See, here's where urban legend meets historical fact. There's the Star Hill, which everybody associates this Bernie Hatch murder with.
Okay.
Which are two entirely different. Bernie Hatch was, what was that, Potato
1973.
Potato Hill happened in 73?
Yeah, 73.
He's the Potato Hill murderer.
I was a little.
Where he what? He dragged a lady to her death or something
he
up
did.
On the hill? I don't know.
Right?
Wasn't.
Mary Rose Turner was the one who was dragged behind, I think it was a truck. I think there was an accusatory of maybe cheating or something along the lines of that.
Now, did he know her or was she a total stranger? Or what was the deal with that?
You know, I don't know the details without having to read it. I just know that I don't think he knew her. I think
so. It was a stranger on stranger situation.
Something about a party. She might have been maybe cheating, mm-hmm. and he dragged her and killed her. Something along the lines of that.
So he. This was a real murder.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How this got associated with Star Hill, I don't know, but at some point in time, urban legend and that mixing together. I don't even think they're in the same location, are they?
Potato Hill and Star Hill?
If Star Hill's more Remsen-ish, right? Potato Hill would be towards Lee?
Potato Hill is
that
up
way?
There, yeah.
Western, Lee? Chester Gillette is a famous one. That was oh, dear, what was that called? The American Tragedy. I believe there's a movie and all of that based off of where he killed, can't think of her name, up in Big Moose or Racket Lake, one of the.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. If you've never been to New York State, as soon as you say I'm from New York, anywhere else in the world, they automatically associate you with New York City and you're one of them.
Yeah.
They don't realize that, like, what are we, about 45 miles away from 6 million acres of.
We have the
pretty
largest,
much unexplored land.
Largest state park in the country, the Adirondacks. Over 6 million acres. I mean, it's absolutely huge. And people don't associate that. As soon as you get out of New York City, New York is very rural. And then you hit cities like Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Buffalo. They're not really that big. Mm. They're really not. They're nowhere in comparison to the size of New York City.
Mm.
Pretty much New York City is an anomaly. It's massive. But the whole rest of it, once you get past the suburbs of New York City and out, it's very, very rural. The Catskills, I was in the Catskills mm-hmm. this year hiking. Beautiful through there. Been down through the Finger Lakes many times. And the Adirondacks is just a gold mine for any outdoors person. So that's most of the people in upstate New York, that's where they go to vacation. Like went up to Lake Placid. I mean, it's beautiful, but a lot of people don't see that. They see New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And New York City is, what, about 4.5 hours?
From here, roughly, yeah.
Four and a half, depending
where in the city
so,
you're going.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the state. Mm-hmm. We're in what's called Central New York. And that's, I'm defining that for our friend in Nebraska there, Jerry, so he knows. And there's a lot of paranormal stuff going on in upstate New York. A lot of it. The Adirondacks are a hot spot, too. But yeah.
We should actually do that this year. We should go do that Bigfoot hunt somewhere. Pick some part of the park and Although we need firearms because bears are a real thing in the Adirondack Park.
Actually, one of our newer members has been in touch with me, and she told me that she lives out in the boonies, and her family, her sons and husband or what have you, they go camping out, and it's pretty rural where they are. I mean, there's nobody there. And long story short, I think it was this year, and I'll ask her again, they were camping, and when she says camping, they're out in the stars, no tents, no, just sleeping bags out in the wilderness. They heard something running by their camp, banging on trees. And I says, ooh, I says, Bigfoot hunt at your house this year. And she goes, yeah, I'm up for that. So maybe we can come together and go do that. We were talking about this mm-hmm. on our way here.
That's right. It's a good idea.
Whereabouts?
I will ask her whereabouts, but it's pretty rural.
Because that kind of matters. Because
mm-hmm. Yes.
We have Old Forge, which is 40 minutes from here, and then there's Lake Placid, which is, what, another 4 hours from here?
It's about 2 hours. Two and a half hours. Lake Placid.
So we have...
From here?
Yeah, it's 4 hours when you get there.
But whether we do that or we go to anywhere, you know, the Adirondacks...
Racket Lake. What have you, Racket. Right side.
I think a Bigfoot hunt should be one of the... I mean, let's face it, we've done a lot of things. We've, you know, big cats out in a couple years ago. You know, it's one thing this group hasn't done yet is a good Bigfoot hunt. I think it's in order.
Well, the main differences with the Bigfoot hunt, number one is the climate. You're going to be outside, exposed to the elements.
Yep.
And it's not something you can meet up at 9 and be done with by 11. It's something that pretty much goes late.
It's a couple of days.
Right. Late into the night, because predators move more toward the latter part of the evening. You know?
Yeah.
1 to 4 o'clock in the morning, stuff like that.
Hunters would scare me, especially around here. There's a lot of stupid people, and I don't care if that's insulting. But
and you have to. So you got the elements, and a lot of people they're not durable enough. They don't have the clothing and that kind of thing. Unless you do it in summer, then you need lots of bug spray.
And there's no path. There's no pathways.
You need to know where you're going so you don't get lost, and you also need to make sure that what you get back for evidence is contaminated. If you're out going doing Bigfoot howls and they start getting responses back and you're like, you know, a quarter mile from town, chances are somebody's messing with you.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm talking about going out into the boonies. You know what I'm saying? Where
and
there's a very sparse population of people.
And yes, Pete, we would have to be armed.
I mean, just in Old Forge alone, and it's a fairly good tourist destination when you catch it during the right periods, either summer or winter. They used to have a McDonald's up there, which they've shut now, and you'd go there and there's like literally 8 or 10 bears in the dumpsters eating the food. I think they must have killed the bears by now with the food, but
the cholesterol.
We stayed there 2 years ago. We had a camp off the lake, regular county road, and all of a sudden this gigantic bear is just walking right up the center of the road, and they're there. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, I've had them go through my garbage cans. I went fishing and cooked the fish for dinner and put it, you know, this is in the state park, put the fish out in the can, out in the pathway that goes to the camping ground. And I get him out there knocking the can over, obviously. There was a 25-inch rainbow trout, what was left of it. They're going to get that. So, yeah, they come right through. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're pretty much harmless. The only time they become harmful is if you corner one or threaten the baby of a mother. If you get between the mother and a baby, then like people say, oh, a little black bear, it's
go
lost.
The other way,
no,
leave.
Just
no,
get,
no,
get the hell out of the area.
Leave.
Run from it. I'd be more scared of the baby than I would be of coming across a mother. But there's things. There's coyotes. I mean, I've had coyotes come across. I mean, I was snowmobiling when I was trying to run one down. I was chasing the deer. And then I looked behind me and there was two of them trying to sneak up behind me. So you got to be careful of coyotes. They can, not normally are they like that, but they can be if they believe their strength in numbers. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I mean, if you believe it or not, they're saying that there may be a gray wolf population starting back up in the Adirondacks.
Oh, great.
And also the mountain lions. The mountain lions would be the one that I'd be more concerned about.
Bobcats, too, right?
Bobcats are small. Yeah. I mean, if you come across one that's cornered or rabid, it can do a number on you. But, yeah, it's not a bad idea to have a weapon or at least have something that is non-lethal that can put some distance between you and the animal, like a big stick or something.
There might be panthers, too, now making their way back into New York from Kentucky.
Mountain lions slash panthers slash cougars. Yep. Those are the ones that would concern me the most because, I mean, they can get pretty big, and when they're hungry, they can, they'll go after what they need to do to eat.
And they're ambush predators.
And they go up into the rocks and the trees everywhere.
And jump at you.
As you guys know, you just have to outrun me because I'm dinner for a whole pack of them.
You just got to be faster than the slowest person. As long as you're not the slowest person in the group, you're good. If you're the slowest person in the group, then you might as well, you're going to be someone's dinner. So
we're going to end up turning that into the fight scene from that movie with Liam Neeson there with the wolves and the bottles in his hand.
The Greys.
So no camping trip in the Adirondacks?
Oh, dear God. If there's a cabin, yes.
No tenting? Okay.
Not tenting's fine. You just got to get all the food out of the tent. Put it in the bear bag up in the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Or in your car.
Mm. And speaking of that weird paranormal... Talking about paranormal forest, you see they got a movie coming out about the Japanese suicide forest.
Yeah, I saw that. It looks pretty good.
Oh, really? No, I haven't seen it. No.
Yeah.
It's going to be a weird movie year this year. I mean, we've not to go back to movies. I mean, you got Independence Day. They're making a remake of that.
No, that's right.
Or part two, actually. No Will Smith, though. I guess he wanted so much money, they just wrote him out of the script.
That's what I would do. And the paranormal movies don't even excite me anymore. I haven't watched one of those in years. I finally rented The Conjuring. I think I got it at a Redbox for $1. So I finally watched it. And I liked it.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah. It was pretty decent. If I can pick it up for like $5 or something, I'll get a copy. But I don't watch any of these paranormal activities because it's so out of whack. It's ridiculous and insidious. And they're just horror movies. I don't know. Just like gore. Just gore movies.
I actually seen the first two paranormal activity movies.
I've seen all four. Save Your Money. There's another one coming out again this year.
I've seen the first two. The first two weren't too bad.
I got sucked in that stupid Blair Witch Project.
Oh, I believed that for the longest
time.
I've never seen that movie.
Well, we met two of the people from the movie. Mm-hmm. Heather Donahue.
Yep.
And Michael. I can't remember his last name. We were, Pete was actually working Heather's booth. A Scarecat.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really nice. He was talking to her about doing soaps and all kinds of things like that. She was actually pretty nice. And Michael's not a bad guy. He's actually a teacher, I think, in New York City. So they're both pretty nice. But they weren't living, high off the hog from, the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
However, they do go to, horror conventions, make appearances, and make some money out of that. So
I'll give her a free plug because she was cool for all of our California listeners out there. The second coolest thing, second to BBS Radio, is Heather Donahue's line of personal care products, which may or may not contain THC.
Oh.
They're hemp stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Yeah, she was actually really, really nice.
I will tell you the spray that she calls facial revigorating, I inhaled at least 12 or 14 bottles of that in the... 12-hour period, it actually did smell quite well. Wonderful. Actually wonderful.
Is it as good as Aqua di Gio?
It's different in its own way.
Okay. He loved it.
I think there's three states now that made marijuana for recreational use legal. Colorado, Alaska, and Washington.
Yeah.
I think of the three.
Oh, Alaska's on that bandwagon now, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And I guess there's going to be more and more coming in 2016.
Scary thing, though, is the heroin epidemic is now replacing a lot of the lower-level drug usage.
Yeah.
Because it's becoming cheaper than marijuana.
That's big around here.
No kidding.
Stay in school and avoid drugs. That's my...
Any kind of drug. Absolutely. You don't want to ruin your life with that nonsense.
So speaking of BBS Radio, they've made quite a few changes. They're always upgrading, and it's always a pleasure to do business with them. We're very happy with our home here on the net. giving Doug and Don a good shout out. We love you guys. In a non-sexually specific way.
Man hugs.
Man hugs.
If I had any way of actually getting some of that spray, I would have some sent to you. I'm not implying that you smell. I'm just saying that it's a wonderful homegrown product.
They're
no pun intended.
The
but
they're laughing right now, yeah.
Oh,
that was good, Pete. I like that.
It's been an interesting year. I would say we've done a lot. We've accomplished more things that we put up on our to-do board, like the history tours.
We've done a lot.
That was incredible.
This is actually our last show of the year.
For the year, yeah.
And this is it. This is it for 2015. Yeah. And we've been on a hiatus here lately because, I mean, there's so much stuff going on. Nicole's getting married.
Congratulations.
It's taking a lot of her time.
Yes,
so,
congratulations,
thank
Nicole.
Thank you.
Nicole's getting married January 2nd. We're all looking forward to that.
She's going to visit the McMahon. On
yeah.
Yeah.
Stacey Jones is down there, too. If you run into her, say hi.
Well, she defriended me on Facebook.
And then don't say hi.
maybe I'll message her. Maybe I'll send a
message. Pete set up a new shop.
That's right.
Process is still doing all that. And I moved my business to a new location, so where we're actually broadcasting from tonight. Yeah,
very nice office, sir.
Yeah. And
it's gorgeous, actually.
A lot of people have their other things going on. So, you know, we actually decided not to do our holiday party because we couldn't get enough people to get together in one room on one date. So
it's hard to get the group together.
Yeah, so
that will be on, don't worry.
Yeah, after January 2nd, and then when Nicole gets back from her honeymoon, we'll get together and have ourselves a little pre or post holiday party.
Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah,
Against Humanity.
The next time you hear Nicole on our show in 2 weeks, she'll be Mrs.
Beretta.
Beretta.
Just,
yeah.
Like
just like
the gun.
Yeah, the gun, the car,
like
you know.
Yeah.
92 FS Beretta.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we got about a minute left, everybody. So it's been great tonight. Rich, thank you for the use of your office this evening.
Yeah, anytime. It's always
awesome.
Available.
All right.
I have to tell everybody with New Year's Eve coming up, Happy New Year. Be safe, especially
in
big crowds.
Yes.
Don't drink and
see
drive.
See something, say something.
Don't drink and drive.
Do not drink and drive. It is dangerous and you cannot afford it.
And if you do, you can call my brother 315-336-1410.
They have this neat thing in most areas called Uber. It's great.
Yes. Yeah.
But even the Uber drivers are going to be busy New Year's Eve night. So don't expect to go on Uber and find one and show up in the 5 minutes. They're probably taking enough people around. Mm-hmm. Then cleaning all the puke out of their car before they come to
the
So then we're going to have to take Uber on our cosmic sign off.
All right. Is this?
Huh?
Yeah.
It's all up to you. You're signing off.
All right. This is Steve Roscoe.
This is Nicole.
This is Rich Nick and M.
And I'm 4.
You guys have a great evening and stay safe this coming holiday.
Happy New Year.
Joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.